Welcome to episode 7, part 2 of the One Mason Road Camp Tevye podcast. Joining us again is Jeff Glassbog. So Jeff, your first summer was 1985, which was my last summer.
Yes.
And I'm curious to know, and this is kind of a question I ask a lot of the guests, how were you introduced to Tevye back in 1985?
Yeah, so I grew up in Southern Connecticut in Fairfield County. And there was a small contingency of people that went. And the first person that I knew that went to Tevye the year before I went was my cousin, who lived in Trumbull, Connecticut, town next door to where I grew up. He had a good summer. And my parents were like, hey, if we can ship you off for 8 weeks, and let's do it. So I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. So my older brother and I both went in 1985 with maybe, 20 or so people from that area. And then over the years, exponentially, community, that Fairfield County community in Southern Connecticut really grew into a very large source of campers for Tevye.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's funny. My father and uncle owned a hardware store in Westport, Connecticut, and they had this huge van for the hardware store. And by the time we were, even our older Soaps and Bogue summers, we would, the big van would go around Connecticut picking up all the trunks. And then we would drive separately. And then the van would come and it would stop almost like at every bunk and drop off the trunks for the people who came from Southern Connecticut.
Never knew that. That's interesting. Yeah.
The trunks, that's something that you don't see anymore, those trunks. That was a staple. Everyone had a trunk. Now
that's
nobody
right.
has trunks.
That's right. Or a duffel bag now?
Big duffel bags.
Yeah. And did you always go for full summers when you were a camper?
I started, my first two summers were 1 month each. I think I did first session my first year, second session my second year. And then from then on, I went full summer with one exception. We moved from Southern Connecticut to South Florida, my younger Bogue year. And so I only went 1 month that summer because we moved to Florida during the second month.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then we kept coming from South Florida, and my younger brother continued coming,
That's a ways.
It is a ways.
And it's a ways to go for visiting, to come up for visiting day too.
Yeah. I'm trying to even remember if my parents, I think there were some summers, because then I was older then. And so they may have skipped a couple of visiting days, and my grandparents and my aunt and uncle were still local. So they'd come and visit us on visiting day. And I'd be like a free agent. I'd kind of go from picnic to picnic, getting food from each family.
Just like the staff always did.
Exactly. Yeah. Nowadays, hardly anyone even stays in camp. And I think Lynn was talking about this in her episode a couple episodes ago, where it's a very structured agenda. You got like a race against time to get all the things done that you want to get.
That's so different.
It is. But still, so what we did for a few years anyway is my wife and I would stay at a hotel in Nashua the night before visiting day, and we'd get extended checkout the next day to like 4 o'clock or something. So we'd pick up the kids, we'd go to the hotel, they'd wallow in the air conditioned room, they'd swim in the pool, and we'd bring in lunch and have take out lunch, and a bunch of other families did it too. So we'd have a little kind of mini reunion by the pool, and then they'd take a nice shower in the shower, head to Target, and then head back to camp. Got ice cream and head back to camp. So
that's a pretty good day.
It's a pretty good day. And yeah, I think that was it was a pattern that we used a few years in a row that seemed to work for us.
Nice. And when you think back when you were a camper, what feels the same today at camp? Because your kids go, and what feels completely different?
Yeah. I mean, the obvious, like that feeling you get when you enter camp, that will never change. And I think my kids feel that same feeling, that knot in your stomach, that sense, the smell of camp. And, the friendships that you make. I see both of my kids have their, my daughter's a sophomore in college, my son's a senior in high school. And yeah, they have good friends in college and in high school and everything. But the friends that are the camp friends, those are the ones that you can tell will be sustainable forever. And they just, they are more themselves when they're with that camp group than they are with their other friends. And that's the same, I have my core group of camp friends that I've stuck with. And it's just a different kind of friendship. It's like more like family than it is like your high school friends, if you will. And you know, the things like, you know, the dining hall layout. Yes, there's like bathrooms and everything, but it still looks pretty much the same in the way that the tables are structured and organized, and you know, just the feeling of camp hasn't changed.
Right, right.
What about you? I mean, when was the last time you were at Tevye?
A long time ago.
Okay.
I'm gonna work on that. I'm gonna work on correcting that.
Yeah, we'll have to get you the next major reunion is probably in a couple of years.
I may not wait for that.
That's good. Good.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you were on staff, what, 93 to 96, can you think of any changes that were happening then that kind of carries forward to today? Because like my perception is, you know, from 1974 to 85, things were pretty much the same. There were subtle differences in the program, but, you know, camp really was the same. You know, the physical plant was the same and there weren't a lot of changes, but were there changes that happened then that you kind of see now, or is it kind of the same for you?
No, I mean, I actually, it's almost the opposite. It's probably was very similar, you know, throughout the years that you and I were both there. And then somewhere along the way, there have been some significant changes. And I don't know when they happened because, you know, that was the gap before my kids were going. But now, there's a lot of differences. I mean, the number one thing is the amount of staff to cover. You know, we had one boy's head and one girl's head and the director, right? Now there's an Olim and a head and a Lot head. So Fim's head is a Fot head, a Bogrim head, a Bogro head. There's a lot more adult staff to manage the campers and a lot more oversight of the kids. I think when you had OD, what did you do? Did you sit outside the bunks and lit a fire and tried to get your citronella candle to make a big fire?
I don't know if we had that.
anyway, that's so we would have one OD to cover maybe every three bunks, and you'd sit outside, and if the kids were loud, you'd go in and tell them to be quiet. But otherwise, you just kind of sat there, and maybe, you know, someone would go out and do a pizza run and you get a pizza. Now there's the OD is in the bunk, so every bunk has to have a counselor in the bunk at all times, and that's like from after evening activity through lights out through the next morning. So. Which is like, as a former camper and as a counselor, the initial reaction is that really stinks. The campers don't have that like independent, no counselor free time where they're kind of like can whisper each other and talk. And the counselor's always there. But as a parent, it's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Like you want these kids to be watched, and you don't want to like I know what an idiot I was back then. So you don't want them to be completely unobserved all the time. But I don't know that. So that's certainly different.
That is very different.
The other thing that I'd say, and this is going back to like the feeling, like the way that I perceived my counselors and the way that my kids perceive their counselors, that hasn't changed. Like when I was, I don't think I had a differentiation in my head between what was a counselor and what was like my parents' age. I think it was all like, these are all adults. And looking back now, like these are far from adults. And now, like when I see it from my kids' perspective, like the way they look at their counselors and the way these little kids look at them, like my daughter was a counselor for 2 years, they think my kids walk on water. And look, I love my kids dearly. I think they're great kids, but they aren't the gods that these campers think they are. And so it's pretty great. Like I see how he talks about some of his counselors, and it's the way I still talk about some of my counselors, and like that stuff hasn't changed at all.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, that kind of makes sense. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. So what can you think of from your camp days that wouldn't happen today?
Well, maybe some things I can't say, but for obvious reasons. But I think a lot of the, like what would be deemed hazing maybe today was maybe really just like good old fashioned fun. There's a much more fine line there, and a lot of the things that were like traditions and from the eyes of the helicopter parents would not be construed as, you know, good traditions. I'll give you an example.
And I'm thinking of one that I can mention, but go ahead.
I don't know if you had this back in the day, and looking back, it's the most idiotic thing ever. It's called JC jump in the bag. Have you ever heard of JC Jump in the Bag?
Okay. No, I never heard of that.
So what JC Jump in the Bag is, JC Junior Counselor. So every year, one junior counselor would be nominated to have to do the jump in the bag. And what the jump in the bag is from the top step of the dining hall, coming out of the dining hall, you'd have a bunch of other counselors hold a garbage bag at the bottom step, and they'd have to jump head first into this glad garbage bag from the top step. What is it, like 8-10 steps?
Sure,
Maybe even more. And that was something that, like, it was a tradition every year, and everyone gathered around and, like, cheered on the JC to jump in the bag. And, like, there's no chance that would happen today.
No. It's all in fun.
Yeah. But, like you know, there was little nuanced differences. There's actually, so some of the things became more strict because of all the, you know, obvious, you know, security and legal concerns and all that. But some of the stuff is actually less strict. Like, when we were campers and counselors, when we were there, there was a meal that was served. And if you didn't like that meal, you kind of were just hungry that day. Now there's a lot more options in the dining hall. Like, if you don't like the meal, there's a salad bar. I think there at one point there was a pasta station. There's other options. The dining hall itself, again, like when I grew up at camp, it was the Shelley Shapiro. I was the director. And if you got up from your table for any reason, she was on you and, like, get back to your table. It was like you were assigned a table and you stayed at the table every meal. Now people are walking around and it's a lot more social and it's a lot more, you know, it's not as strict. And that's not a criticism or a knock at the current administration, that Lauren's a good friend of mine. But, like, that's just a different feeling for the better, I think. I think it's like, it's more like we were afraid a lot.
That's
not afraid, like for real consequences, but, like, you know, you didn't want to miss free play and you didn't want, you know, now I think it's a little looser in terms of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, I can remember when I was a camper at one time, there seemed to be a lot of people leaving tables after they were done eating and then having to get them back to their table. You know, so that did go on. You know, I'm not saying one way is, you know, better than the other or right or wrong. It's just that I remember that being how it was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know the story about Chief Patanipo has been retired.
Yeah, I mean, I probably don't even remember. I do remember hearing that story when I was younger, but I probably couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
To retell it today.
Yeah. I can tell you. I can tell it to you after you finish.
Fair enough.
And then, and you know, I was putting together as best I could a list of movie nights over the years, and they're I'm gonna post it online at some point, and it seems like there were some movies that were kind of, I mean, you call thrillers, that weren't quite age appropriate that they used to show when I was a camper.
I remember one movie that we watched that certainly would not be shown today. Yeah. I think it was Heathers back in the 80s. I think that was it's so definitely different. Definitely. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's
it's different.
Interesting.
It is a different, I think the kids, it's not as free. There's not as much freedom. I mean, not only are there cameras everywhere for security purposes, so you really have to, you can't really go anywhere without being on camera. But the bubble doesn't really exist the way it existed when we were there. I think when we were at camp, parents dropped you off, they came back on visiting day, they left, they came back to pick you up. And aside from a couple letters here and there that maybe were like a couple words each, there was no communication. There was no proof of life. There was no...
Nothing.
Anything like that. Now it's like, if you don't see your kid in a picture that's posted on the app in a couple of days, the parents are calling the camp. Where's my kid? I don't see him in the picture. It's like, you know, I think the pictures are a good thing. I personally would probably, if it was up to me, I'd say no pictures, because then everyone's equal. There's no opportunity to complain about it.
Right.
And
right.
Let these kids live in this bubble and not think that anywhere they go, their parents might see a picture of them looking sideways and think that they're sad.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned security. I mean, and you know, ODs are in the bunks now. You know, I can remember being on Super OD, and the one thing you got was that huge flashlight that held 3D batteries that could be used as a weapon.
Yes, the maglite.
And that's what you walked around with. That was security. It was never used, but that was security.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it, but but it's necessary, right? Especially in the, you know, in light of the recent events in Israel and the anti-Semitism. And so now we have gated camera security. We have guards 24 hours at all times. I think we raised across the three camps almost $500,000 over the last 2 years, specifically for security improvements at the camps. And so, yeah, there's necessary things that have happened, you know, for better or worse. You know?
Right, right. And I know, like, another big change that I'm aware of is that like Knesset Tel Yehuda does what, the final banquet, right?
Then
Birgitel Chai does the mini banquet, and we didn't have any of that kind of call it responsibility or, you know, tasks to do like that.
So I think I'm pretty sure that when I was in it wasn't Tel Yehuda then, right? It was Gan HaMasada.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Tel Yehuda was the same as Tel Chai, but I think we put on the banquet for Tel Chai then as well. I think that started back. I might be fact checked on that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that was that year. Unless it was when our CIT year.
Yeah. Our main thing was setting good examples. And I think we did that, you know, but it was basically our summer to have fun.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wanted to get asked back.
You wanted to get asked back.
Like you said.
You had fun, but there was always like that, making sure no one's, you know, making sure you're best behaved when people are looking, I guess.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, it certainly is interesting to know what the, you know, the differences are that, you know, I got a lot of it from the episode with Matt Brand and Alan Shapiro Eisenstein. You know, it's the changes when, you know, changes are necessary. You love to say, well, the good old days were the good old days, but you know, that's how the world is.
Yeah, 100% agree. But it goes back to that same, like, what's the same, right? It's the relationships are the same. And that's, I don't think that's ever going to change. And that's like the best part about camp.
Right, right.
Actually, so the Patriots played the Giants on Monday Night Football a couple of days ago. I happen to be a Giants fan. Hopefully your listeners don't hate me for that. But I went to the game with my son, and he knows one of his counselors, his Kadima counselors, is a Patriots season ticket holder and goes to every game. So he reached out to him. One of my campers, so I was a counselor for 4 summers, 3 of which was with the same age group. And so one of my campers in that age group, who currently works at camp as the head of athletics now, John Fass, is also a big Giants fan. So I had reached out to him to see if he was going. And we all ended up meeting up for tailgating
nice.
On this freezing cold a couple of days ago on Monday. And it was great. It was a great, you know, I guess, anecdote of like the camp relationship. So it was Josh, my son, and his counselor, myself and my camper, 2 current staff members and alumni, like all, you know, tailgating at the Patriots game together. You know, what other kind of like that doesn't happen with like, you know, high school reunion or country, you know?
No, it doesn't.
It's camp. It's kind of uniquely camp.
Yeah. Well, so tell your kids that I have this great idea, and that's to make Color War the entire summer.
Yeah, that would be great for some of the older kids, but I think for some of the younger kids,
they wouldn't like that.
I know that when my kids were little, they chose to go first month because they didn't want their activities that their electives that they signed up for would go away for a week and a half for a week during Color War. And so it's like, if I'm signed up for this for only one session, and it's only, again, now it's only 3.5 weeks, it's not 4 weeks. And so if one of those weeks is taken up by Color War, that's only like 2.5 weeks where I get my elective. And
right,
they don't
right.
have, when Color War comes around and they're like, oh, I have one event on one day and otherwise I'm sitting there and I have to be quiet. You know, it's not the same for them.
Right,
so
right.
I think that's the, you have to, yeah.
Well, even the 2 weeks of Color War, it didn't interrupt everything. It really didn't. And then when it was the whole summer, it didn't interrupt everything. You know, some evening activities were Color War, but, you know, it didn't interrupt the summer. But I
right.
get how important, you know, a lot of the special activities are that they look forward to. You know, the trips, the whitewater, was it whitewater rafting?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the better ones.
Yeah,
I had the opportunity to do that twice because I was also a Tel Chai counselor my last year as a counselor. Mm-hmm. So I got to experience that as a counselor, which was also really fun. Yeah. Yep.
Well, this has been great getting together, Jeff. I appreciate you spending the time.
Yeah, this is awesome. I really appreciate what you do and how you keep camp alive on the Facebook page and with these podcasts. I think, Jewish summer camp for most people is their cornerstone of their Jewish identity. In a lot of ways, a lot of places, it's really the only source of their Jewish identity where they have this kind of shared experience.
Very true.
Keeping that alive, especially today, in the wake of October 7th with rising anti-Semitism, I think camp is more Jewish summer camp is more important than ever. And the more we can do to keep that alive and the more we can do to keep it sustained, that's why I, volunteer my time on the board. And that's what it's all about.
Totally agree. And thank you for your time, by the way.
Of course.
Greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated by the I'll speak for the community. Greatly appreciated.
Thanks, Rob.
Very good. So this concludes episode 7, part 2 of the One Mason Road Camp Tevye podcast. If you missed part 1, circle back and check it out. If you'd like to be a guest on this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, you can reach me via Facebook Messenger, text me or email me at info@onemasonroad.com. Or if you have any suggestions of who should be a guest, reach out to me. Please subscribe to the One Mason Road podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen at www.onemasonroad.com. Past guests have included Mark Adelman, Matt Brand, Linda Schnall-Hill, Lynn Shapiro-Eisenstein, and Scott Spahr. And don't forget to join the One Mason Road Camp Tevye group on Facebook. Thanks again to Jeff Blasbaugh for spending time with me tonight. Thanks for listening and watching, everyone. Keep in touch.